Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. Tomorrow, the New Hampshire Senate votes on a subject that stirred enormous debate, an educational program called the International Baccalaureate, or IB. It's a curriculum that was created more than 40 years ago in Switzerland to provide a universally recognized diploma for the children of diplomats and others whose families move about internationally. Over the years, however, more than 1,300 American schools have adopted the program, including two districts in New Hampshire. But that international background worried some members of the New Hampshire House, enough so that earlier this year they voted overwhelmingly to halt local schools from offering it. Here's Republican Representative Ralph Bohm.
The IB organization is in Switzerland and controlled from there. We are trying to make sure that your local school district is not governed by a foreign organization in a foreign country.
Bohm and others worry that IB's materials contain an anti-American slant. They also view the program's link with the United Nations as suspect and add that it costs districts too much money. But IB also has many supporters, and they packed a recent hearing on the bill. People like John White, whose daughter went through the program.
The assertion that IB is somehow an international plot fomented by the United Nations to undermine national loyalty and cause the disintegration of liberty in the United States is a preposterous notion, yet is advanced by public officials entrusted with making our laws.
Now, as the state Senate prepares to vote on this measure today in The Exchange, we ask, should New Hampshire back off from the International Baccalaureate? Let's hear from you. If your district either uses this program or has looked at using it, tell us what you think. Is it an important educational tool, or are its values suspect? Given tight local school district finances, is this something we should invest in or not? Are there other advanced curricula that work just as well? Give us a call. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, the address exchange@nhpr.org. We have two guests in studio. With us is Anne-Marie Banfield, Education Liaison for Cornerstone Action, a conservative think tank. Anne-Marie is also a resident of Bedford. And Anne-Marie, it's nice to meet you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Terry Wolf, Vice Chairman of the Bedford School Board, which has had the International Baccalaureate for 4 years at the high school, one of two districts in New Hampshire that has IB. And Terry Wolf, good to meet you too. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, and Terry, I'll start with you because I think a lot of listeners don't know what this is all about. Why did Bedford decide to adopt this program? What did you think it would bring your students?
Well, when we started the high school, we authorized a curriculum research committee that started in fall of 2006. And it was put together with community members. And we met with people and asked them what they wanted to see in the community. And one of the things that we heard repeatedly was high expectations. They wanted the kids to learn a lot and to be challenged. So AP was an obvious thing to look at. Advanced placement program, which many people are familiar with because they took it themselves when they were in school. And the International Baccalaureate was something that came to the committee's attention very early. And, you know, we took a look at it. The committee resoundingly approved it and recommended that the high school planning team take a deeper look at it. So we had a planning team that was on board for a year before the school opened, and they took it over and did more research into it. The International Baccalaureate is a two-year program that is available to all juniors and seniors at Bedford High School. It's like AP, but it also encompasses six subject areas: your first language, a second language, history, sciences, math, and arts. In addition to that, there's three more IB components: a critical thinking course called the Theory of Knowledge, which is also known as TOKA, an independent research project that is guided by a supervisor, and 150 hours of creativity, action, and service. So that is what gets students an IB diploma.
So it's kind of above and beyond the regular high school curriculum.
It is. It absolutely is. And then it is also available as an option more like AP, where students would be able to take just one course, or we also have students that take three or four courses.
So you don't have to go through the whole IB program soup to nuts. You can just kind of pick and choose like you do. If you're really good at math, you might take AP Calculus. Same thing.
Exactly.
How many students do you find, Terry, are interested in taking the whole thing soup to nuts?
The numbers this year, I believe, were around 21 diploma students for graduating seniors. And then there's a similar number that are juniors this year. So we're looking at about 40 students that take the full diploma. I was talking to a parent recently. Those students have to be extremely motivated. It is a lot to do the full program. But then also with this debate that's been going on, I was talking to a student who was taking five courses. And I said to her, why aren't you doing the full diploma if you're working that hard? And her answer was that she was president of the biology club and president of the book club and also part of National Honor Society.
Wow.
And I believe she had some other extracurricular activities. So she felt her choice worked well for her.
Well, one more question for you, Terry, and then I want to bring Anne-Marie in, too. After three or four years at the high school level in Bedford, how well do you think this has paid off for your students? What are you hearing from them?
I think that we're seeing the benefits more and more. We're only going to see our third graduating class this year. So we now have 2 years of graduates behind us. We just went through spring break. Students are reporting that colleges are very pleased to see it on their transcript, that they can tell that they've challenged themselves the most that they can. So they're getting credit. They're feeling the transition from high school to college is easy compared to maybe if they hadn't challenged themselves so hard.
Well, and Anne-Marie, we've heard a lot about this debate just recently, and your group, Cornerstone Action, was involved in this issue. Why do you think, Anne-Marie, just broadly, if you could please, is not the way to go? International baccalaureate is not a good idea for New Hampshire schools.
Well, first of all, I think with any program, you're going to find good and bad. And, you know, I can certainly go through some of the things that I find good about the program. I think the extended essay is probably one of those requirements that you would find that challenge the students and can be beneficial. But there's other components to this program that I think is what causes the controversy. And this is not certainly limited to Bedford or Merrimack Valley. You're going to find that this has created controversy for many years for many schools, because as you dig deeper into the program itself, you're going to find that there's components to it that has led parents to question it and then dig deeper and then have major issues with it. One is the political action component of it, the political aspects of this program, the partnership with UNESCO, and the political agendas within the program. This is a values-based program, and these are not values that come from the parents or come from the community, but these are values that are imposed on the students through the IB itself. So these two components tend to be what really causes the controversy. There's other aspects to the program that I personally have issues with, but I do think it works for some of the students, like the constructivism, you know, which we can talk about later. There's, you know, the cost factor. The cost factor is it tends to be why a lot of schools drop it, because it is very costly. Some of these components, I would say, maybe there's a problem with it, but maybe not to the point where, you know, well, you need to get rid of this out of your school. Then there's other components that I look at and say, should public funds be used in this way?
Can you give us an example?
For instance, just the political component of it. If you go to the IB website, which is at the IBO.org website, and you go to their search engine and you plug in Agenda 21 or the Earth Charter, you're going to find that within the program at the PYP level, which is the elementary level. And so what you have is you have a lot of the students working, and if you scroll down to sustainability, that's where you're going to find it. And what you're going to find is a lot of the students, this is incorporated into their daily program, this sustainability agenda. And that in and of itself may not be an issue or a problem, but when you look at Agenda 21 or you look at the Earth Charter, which is a political agenda of the United Nations, then as parents start to look at that, they realize that this agenda calls for the limiting of personal property, or the elimination of personal property, wealth redistribution among nations. And so when they're looking at their students participating in projects that focus on sustainability and these things, they understand where this is coming from, and that's one of the big issues.
Can I ask you a quick follow-up, Anne-Marie? And you've mentioned something that a lot of critics have mentioned, UNESCO. Now, this is an agency of the UN, but as I understand, this agency in particular is troubling to you. So can you just explain to us why UNESCO is particularly bothersome, and just remind us what UNESCO stands for as well.
Oh, it's the United, it's the education arm of the United Nations.
I see.
And I think if you just look at the historical aspect as it relates to the United States, for instance, under President Reagan, we withdrew from UNESCO because of the anti-American sentiment. We remained out of UNESCO during his term, during President Clinton's term, during George H.W. Bush's term, and we only rejoined under President Bush Jr. Junior's term, and if you look at what the critics say, a lot of that had to do with, you know, we were going to war at that time, and we needed the United Nations, and you know, with the promise that they would reform.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. And real quick, Terry, we'll get into more detail later, but can you address this broad concern that you hear over and over again that this is a program that has ties to a UN agency that has a decidedly anti-American slant?
Talk about a loaded question. When we looked into this program, I'd say there were two board members that were rather skeptical. Actually, they were the two board members that hadn't been on the curriculum research committee, so they hadn't been involved in some of the research to the same level that the rest of the board had. And their biggest concern was local control of the curriculum. And it took them, you know, 6 months to feel comfortable that that is what we have. IB provides a framework, or this is kind of a big picture of what they feel is important to meet their standards. And then they offer over 300 courses at the diploma program level, so in the high school level. I can't speak to the PYP. And we choose from those courses, and we decide what materials we need that we select to fulfill those courses and to be able to take the test. So we have examples of the tests. We know what we need to be able to do. And so we provide the materials, and we have control over all the selection, such as the materials that are used in English class.
And whether they have an anti-American slant,
exactly,
or some questionable values and so forth. So you're picking and choosing from those materials.
Exactly.
Switzerland isn't making that decision, you're saying.
Absolutely, right. And that was a big concern for the board members.
All right, and we will take a short break, and then we'll talk a lot more. I want to start taking your calls, too, at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org, and we'll be right back.
Good morning. It's 9:19, and support for NHPR comes from UR members and from the Nature Conservancy, announcing its first field guide with trail descriptions and detailed maps to help you discover and explore New Hampshire. nature.org/New Hampshire. From Wilson Employment Network, successfully impacting their clients' productivity by recruiting qualified talent for New Hampshire employers for over 12 years. Online at wilsonemployment.com. And Dartmouth Hitchcock, providing online health tools and podcasts for a healthier New Hampshire. Information at dartmouthhitchcock.org. More on the battle over international baccalaureate on the exchange on NHPR, and at 10 on the Diane Rehm Show, Showdown in the Eurozone. New Hampshire weather today, cloudy with scattered showers, high temperatures in the 60s. Tonight, cloudy with showers, a chance of thunderstorms, lows from 56 to 61 degrees. Tomorrow, cloudy with showers coming to an end, some breaks of sunshine possible in the afternoon, highs 70 to 75. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today on The Exchange, the battle over the International Baccalaureate. IB supporters hail it as a rigorous school curriculum that can help prepare students for a global society. Opponents worry it promotes anti-American values in our schools. A House bill was defeated in committee recently in the Senate. That House bill would have halted IB in New Hampshire schools. The Senate committee said they didn't think that was a good idea, but still the full bill goes before the full Senate for a vote tomorrow. We're looking today at the International Baccalaureate, what it's all about, how it's been used here in New Hampshire, and what some of the concerns are. Join us with your questions or comments at 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Email is exchange@nhpr.org. And Terry Wolf, again, vice chairman of the Bedford School Board, which has the IB at the high school school. You were trying to finish up a point before the break. Go ahead. You were saying that, no, our curriculum is not determined by IB headquarters in Geneva. We pick it locally.
Right. Absolutely. And I think, you know, it's important to recognize this is an international curriculum. It's not just a Bedford, you know, or a New Hampshire curriculum. So when you do go on to the IB website and you look at the UN agenda and some of the other things, there are curriculums that people share with each other. So just as even here in New Hampshire, we might go to a conference and share, this is what I'm doing in my school. This is available to you. What are you doing in your school? That's exactly what's available through IB. So if a community is looking for that information, they have access to it. As far as IB, it is a non-governmental organization of UNESCO. It's an NGO. It means that they have a formal recognized relationship of sharing information. An NGO is not a term I'm familiar with here locally, but I've become familiar with it since we've adopted IB. There's 400 NGOs of UNESCO, including the Lions Club and Rotary International.
You know, this raises a question, Anne-Marie, that I did want to ask you, and then we'll go to our callers. What about the idea, Anne-Marie, that, you know, we cherish the idea of local control? If school districts want to do this, let them do it. What do you think?
I absolutely agree. And I think if you would have sat in on the hearings in the House Education Committee, you would have seen that they completely agree. I think what the problem was, because this bill didn't start out as it is right now. It started out more as like a school choice bill. And then it morphed into this bill that had issues with the governance factor. When IB comes into your school, what does it do? If you look at the Montessori program, Montessori offers their program to any school. And if you adopt it, you have complete control over that program. This is a little different. There's a lot of rules and regulations. There's this, you know, if a parent has a problem with maybe a student getting a diploma, they have to go through a mediator. This is handled through Swiss courts. That was one of the concerns. The data sharing, you know, this was a concern among the legislators. There's a lot of information that leaves the country. And interestingly enough, IB shares the same exact address as UNESCO in Switzerland, in Geneva.
So what about Terry's comment that, look, this is locally controlled. We're not infusing these anti-American values into our program.
Well, I think Representative Greg Hill said it best that, you know, when you give away local control, when you give away the governance factor, that's what concerned them. It wasn't so much that, you know, we want schools to maintain their local control. But if they give that governance factor away, and I talked to a senator in Utah who had the same issues with IB, this is something that other legislators have had issues with. They're concerned with that. Yes, if you want local control, but if you give that control away to a foreign organization, what does that mean? And if you go through their documents, that's what concerned them.
I want to bring another voice into our conversation. Joining us now on the phone is Republican State Rep. Seth Cohn of Canterbury. He was one of the sponsors of the bill we're talking about, HB 1403, which goes before the Senate tomorrow. And Representative Cohn, good to have you on the air. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here, Laura.
Well, why do you think this bill was a good idea?
Well, as Anne-Marie mentioned, the original bill was a lot more like a school choice bill. And it came about because we were contacted by parents. Merrimack Valley is in the process of implementing this. And they're actually not implementing it at the high school level, as Ms. Wolf pointed out, where you can opt in or opt out. They're doing it at the elementary level, where every single child throughout their day is being subjected to this program. And we had parents who quite rightly said, I want to know more about this. Every time I ask my school superintendent, every time I ask my school board for more details, they blow us off. They're not interested in talking to us. Hey, state reps, can you get some answers for us? And so we tried to get answers. And I started hearing some very interesting stuff, and unfortunately, one of the things I heard, and I heard Ms. Wolf say it, that a curriculum committee went looking for a program, settled on IB, and then at the same time they're saying that, they say, no, there's no curriculum, we do it all ourselves. And I'm sitting there going, then why did a curriculum committee pick this particular program if there's nothing to it?
Well, I think she said they pick and choose aspects of the IB program.
Well, except for the fact that going back to these documents, the documents make clear you can't do that, that you have to meet certain standards. And that's the problem, is we get one story from the administration, and then we go back and we look at the contracts that are being signed, and they say something different. You know, and as a representative, my job is to go ahead and look at what the contracts say.
Well, and Merrimack Valley is in your district, Representative Cohn. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. Merrimack Valley covers basically a large area north of Concord, including part of Concord, Penacook.
Yeah, and Merrimack Valley has gone more broadly with this. In Bedford, it's A, voluntary, and B, only at the upper level of high school. So a little different
Absolutely.
Situation there.
Absolutely.
Another question for
Very
you, Representative Cohn. And I just asked this to Emery Banfield. I want to hear from you as well, though, on this idea of local control. We got an email earlier from Beth in Bedford. She says, my question is for the sponsors of this legislation. Beth says, after years of research and vetting of IB by both school districts that have the program, why should New Hampshire residents, parents, and school board members be compelled to adopt the viewpoint of a very small group that opposes IB? How would you answer Beth's question for you there, Representative?
Well, I would answer it a couple ways. Number one, the discussion I don't think has fully happened. I think that there's a great attempt here to say it's only a very small minority. A lot of the questions that have been raised don't get answered, and that's a problem. But I will say this. Laura, if you go ahead and you discover that a public school was teaching an avowedly Christian worldview curriculum, and you said, wait a minute, those are public dollars, we're not supposed to be doing that, people would be upset. If you discovered that they were teaching an avowedly political curriculum, let's say it was a very conservative viewpoint, for instance, for many of your listeners, they go, yeah, that doesn't make me comfortable. This is public money. You shouldn't be doing that. The problem with IB is when you go look into the details, and this is what the people that are defending this keep pushing off and saying, it's not true, it's not true. The curriculum itself, you pick up the books, you read it, has a worldview that is global. It says that global governance is good. It says that the United States is part of the problem. And this is an issue that taxpayer money paying for this worldview. I don't have a problem with the essays. I don't have a problem with teaching thinking skills. I have a problem when we're taking kids, especially kids at the elementary level, and saying we're going to teach them that global warming is a problem and that the United States is part of that problem, because those kids are going to grow up and they're going to have been told this their entire lives. And the question is, should they be told that? They don't have critical thinking skills. And under the guise of teaching them critical thinking skills, we're saying we're going to teach them a specific worldview.
Well, and Representative Cohn, one last question for you, and Anne-Marie Banfield also answered this. The idea of local control, you know, if school districts have done the in-depth vetting process that Terry Wolf says Bedford did, studying, looking at it, if they've done that work, why does the legislature feel it has the right to step in?
Well, in this case, I think the contracts are a big factor. The schools are covered by New Hampshire state law, and that's, I think everyone would agree, is appropriate. And if they're signing a contract that says that, no, they have to abide by another set of guidelines that are covered under Swiss law with Swiss arbitration, is that really local control, or are they giving it away? And this is why the Education Committee changed the bill. The original bill was saying you could go ahead and you could do it in your school district if you want. You have to let the parents that object go to a different school district. And the Education Committee said, well, that sounds great for Merrimack Valley and maybe for Bedford. But what if this gets implemented up north where they're the only school around? That's not viable. And so the more they looked into it, the more they settled on the bill they had.
Okay. Well, Representative Cohn, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it.
You're quite welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Representative Seth Cohen, co-sponsor of the bill we've been looking at, House Bill 1403. He's a Republican from Canterbury. Our number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Terry Wolf, I did want to give you a quick minute to respond to Representative Cohen's concerns that this is an agenda dictated by, as he said, Switzerland.
Well, you know, I think I'd like to go back to his point of that we meet state regulations, we meet federal regulations, and we do not cede those. We still meet those. The IB program is a layer on top of that. There is an agreement, as we talk, there's a couple different agreements, which you'll find on the IBO website that are easy to find. I think what's important is IB is a brand. IB is a recognizable brand that any college, when they take a look at it, who's familiar with, knows what our students went through, just as Advanced Placement is a recognizable brand. And we agree to certain standards because we would like those other schools who are teaching IB to be agreeing to the same standards. So when somebody comes and says,
what is international baccalaureate? They know exactly
Everybody
what
knows.
They're getting.
But why do you suppose, I mean, advanced placement, those AP math and AP history or whatever, those never seem to get into hot water. So why does IB always seem to come under fire?
Well, I think for one thing, AP is just something everybody's really familiar with, and it's been around for a long time. AP is evolving and changing, actually, to be more like international baccalaureate. There's information. The New York Times did a big article on that recently, and they announced a new capstone program recently. I think IB is new. It's new, and it's a bigger program in a sense that it's a comprehensive program, where AP, you can add small bits at a time. You can add one course, two courses, where you bring in an entire program for
this. And AP also doesn't have ties to a UN organization that some find has questionable values.
It's an international program.
Let's take some calls. Our lines are full, as I expected. 1-800-892-6477. And Michelle's waiting in Concord. Hi, Michelle. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi there. You know, from what I gather from the information on the show today, this program is pretty much directed towards high school and older students. This isn't really directed toward, like, you know, your kindergarten, your third graders, your fifth graders.
Well, Michelle, let me just jump in, and sorry to interrupt you. Actually, in Merrimack Valley, it's in the younger years.
It is in the younger years.
Okay, Bedford, it's junior and senior year, right, Terry?
Correct.
Right, but in Merrimack Valley, I believe it's K through 8 or K through 10. So go ahead, Michelle.
So for the students that it is directed toward, the more mature grades, these people, you know, they already have their parents' opinions. They already have the education that the family's instilled in them. And they're looking at these classes and they're saying, this is the type of career I'd like to be involved in. I'd like to be involved in the international community. I'd like to be involved in this type of politics. These are the choices that are good for my future career. How come they don't have a say in this?
Michelle, thanks a lot for the question. What do you think about that, Anne-Marie, that this is a time when, you know, we need to be looking outside our own borders and thinking more globally?
Well, I'm not sure that you need IB for that in particular. I think, you know, that's why you have world geography. And I think that, you know, you can certainly incorporate that into your curriculum. Any school can do that. You know, one thing I wanted to bring up is there's a report. It's called The Crisis of Competence, and it's called The Corrupting Effect of Political Activism in the University of California. And while this doesn't apply to IB, if you look at this report, it goes through the political activism that's now taken over many of our college campuses, and how that has corrupted the academic offerings at the colleges. And so as I was reading this report, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, wow, this is very similar to a lot of the criticisms that have been aimed at IB. They go through how it has diluted the academic content at the college level. So if it's diluting the academic content at the college level, what is it doing at the high school, middle school, and you know, elementary level? And I think what I hear from parents is that's exactly what it's doing. I've heard from parents in Merrimack Valley where their kids are now in part of this group learning, and instead of being graded on math skills, they're being graded on communication skills, for instance. And I've had parents that have pulled their kids out of that school district that I've talked to, and that they're concerned that, you know, the focus is so much on these values that are not their values, and political activism and political agendas, that the academic content is getting diluted in the process. And so if the colleges are now acknowledging this, that this is a problem at the collegiate level, I'm very concerned that our schools are going in that direction too.
Now, in terms of the academics, U.S. News and World Report recently ranked the top 100 high schools in the country, and a lot of those high schools turned out to be IB high schools. If it's so bad, Anne-Marie, why do you think so many high schools are adopting it, and why do you think those high schools seem to be doing pretty well?
Well, first of all, one of those schools, the principal said that they were not using good information. And so he said, while our school is doing well, the federal government who provided that data did make a mistake. So I'm not sure that all of that information is correct. We also have the federal government through the Title IIA and through title programs that are now giving schools money to adopt this program. And one of the
encouraging
school,
them.
Right. And one of the school board members in Merrimack Valley at one meeting proudly said, we're getting free money. To which a lot of the residents were gasping, because it's never free money. But so there's an incentive from a lot of these schools to adopt the program because they're getting according to this board member's pre-money.
And Terry, I believe Bedford was in that U.S. News and World Report ranking, correct?
Yes, we were number two in the state.
And how about in the country?
905.
Okay, so it was a top 1,000 high schools. I stand corrected.
I thought they ranked actually all the high schools in the country. It was mm-hmm. supposed to be a different way of doing it. And it was based partly on completion rates of AP and IB tests. I understand that I think it was 11 of the top 25 were IB schools.
Let's go to your hometown, Terry, Bedford. Sue's calling from Bedford. Hi, Sue. Go ahead. You're on the exchange. Thanks for waiting.
Hi. Thank you. I just want to add on to that last comment. I think Bedford's math proficiency is only around 50%, so I wouldn't put too much stock in that U.S. News ranking. But my question is, I understand every school is different, and I know teachers who would never put their political or any political agenda into their teaching, and I understand that Bedford probably can create their own curriculum without benefit of IB. And this is a big question that I think Representative Cohn was talking about, that people don't understand what the value added of IB is if you're writing your own curriculum. And then we go to the obvious political agenda that anyone can see by reading the IBO website. And you can see that some of the elementary schools are, it's disturbing some of the things that they're doing, because part of the requirement is that you infuse the attitudes and the activism that the IB wants you to, and they're all geared towards the Millennium Development Goals. So I guess my question is, if you're writing your own curriculum in Bedford and you're doing the same old, you know, literature courses that you would normally do, how do you satisfy that requirement? Because it is a requirement that you change the children's attitudes. I mean, I have seen charts and lists of elementary school requirements where the students are checked every couple of weeks for their attitudes to see if they comply with internationalism.
And Sue, I'm going to wrap you up just in the interest of time. I do apologize, but we're heading into a break, and I want to give Terry Wolf an opportunity to respond. And thank you so much, Sue.
Thank you. One of the reasons we did choose International Baccalaureate, we were opening a high school. We had to put together a curriculum we opened, I believe, with around 700 students. Right now we're at 1350. And really, there's many benefits to it. What we did is it provides professional development for the entire school. Actually, we train teachers for the IB program, but the benefits of that professional development impacts the rest of the school. It prepares students for college-ready work. It helps students stand out when they're applying to their schools. And it is also an international measurement of what kind of education we're providing our students, and we can compare them to students anywhere in the United States and around the world. And when we're looking at being competitive today in our economy, we thought that was very valuable.
It's a global economy today. And maybe we'll talk a little bit more about that after a short break. Lots more of your calls, too, at 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. Keep those emails short. We'll be right back.
Today, Word of Mouth's Writers on a New England Stage series talks with Eric Larson. His historic novels, Devil in the White City and In the Garden of Beasts, read like thrillers. We hear about an American diplomat and his family stationed in Berlin during the rise of Hitler. I'm Virginia Prescott. Join us for Eric Larson's revelations on a well-known story today at noon and again at 9 on NHPR.
Support for NHPR comes from you, our members, and from the Fenton Family Dealerships in Keene, Toyota, Volvo, Honda, Subaru, and Hyundai, treating the needs of each individual customer with singular concern, FentonDealerships.com. And from GZA, Geoenvironmental, providing environmental and geotechnical solutions that are proactive by design, GZA, Geoenvironmental, online at GZA.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, we're studying up on the International Baccalaureate Program. Join us with your questions and comments, 1-800-892-6477. We're looking at what this program is all about, the concerns over it, and we're looking at a bill that the House passed that would halt the progress of IB in New Hampshire schools. Join us, 1-800-892-6477. And before we go back to our callers, Anne-Marie Benfield with Cornerstone Action, I did want to give you a chance to jump in also on Sue from Bedford's points that she was making. She was questioning the added value of IB.
Well, she brought up a good point about grading the attitudes, and that's something that concerns me. I just want to hit on a couple quick points. That's so subjective. And I've seen actual pictures that parents have taken that their kids have been graded on. You know, are you open-minded enough? Are you tolerant enough? These are little kids, and this is very concerning. Also, if you're looking at international comparisons, if you want to look at how your school is doing internationally, you can look at the TIMSS test. That is an international a test that every school takes every 4 years, and it gives you a good feedback on how your school is doing. And one of the other things that really concerns me, I want to make sure it was brought up today, is the history scores. According to the NAEP, less than 25% of our students in America are scoring above proficiency level in U.S. history. And so my concern always is, you know, are we don't even have a lot of our children understanding what it means to be an American citizen. And now this program focuses on creating global citizens. And the proficiency level is extremely low at the high school level. We have around, I think it was 13 or 14% of high school students proficient in history. And this is very concerning.
Well, and let's address some of those questions now. To Drew Deutsch, he joins us by phone from the D.C. area. He's regional director of IB Americas. And Drew Deutsch, thanks for taking the time with us today. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. And I must say that we as an organization, the International Baccalaureate, are flattered to be part of the debate. You know, one of the cornerstones of an IB education is developing critical thinkers who, you know, understand how to ask the right questions and how to debate and engage in conversation. So, like I said, it's quite flattering to be, you know, right at the center of a storm, as it were.
Well, that's what we try and do on the exchange, at least, is ask the questions and have the conversation. So thank you for being with us, Drew. And just to hit that question head on that Anne-Marie Banfield just asked, you know, look, American students are already deficient in understanding our own citizenship requirements and our own history. So do we really need a layer of international citizenship and international history?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And just, you know, by way of overview, the IB offers a primary years program, a middle years program, and a diploma program. The diploma program is currently being offered in Bedford for all the great reasons that Terry, you know, outlined. From the outset, the IB has never been in, you know, the business of running schools. So we're firm believers in local choice, and that's, you know, part of the reason that, you know, we were asked to come into Bedford. You know, the curriculum staff and the rest of the learning community did their due diligence and decided that IB was right for them at that time. In terms of the benefit and how we're having an impact, you know, I think if you look at the numbers, you know, looking at the U.S. News report, it's interesting that, you know, almost 25% of the top 100 schools are IB schools, and that's remarkable for us. I mean, we're flattered by that, but we're in fewer than 5% of U.S. high schools. So it's interesting to look at the impact that an IB education is having on students. Now, in terms of, you know, global citizenship versus U.S. citizenship, I can firmly say, having graduated from a U.S. high school as a diploma student myself, there's nothing un-American about what is taught in an IB classroom. Furthermore, you know, in my role overseeing the work that the organization does across the Americas from Canada, the U.S. down to Chile, I ask, you know, when I engage in dialogue with some of our detractors, the first question I ask them is, have you spent any time in an IB classroom? Have the detractors, as an example in New Hampshire, spent any time in a classroom in Bedford High School learning from a likely U.S. citizen history teacher or what have you, who's teaching an American curriculum in the context and framework and rigor and critical thinking lens of an IB academic program? Or have you been to Merrimack to look at, you know, a PYP classroom in action?
PYP,
you know,
again, is the little kids, the elementary kids.
Yes, correct. Sorry.
So, Drew, you said, you know, there's nothing un-American in an IB classroom, having gone through it yourself. But, you know, critics, they go to the website, they see the ties to UNESCO, they see some of the, you know, questionable choices that organization has made, and they say, look, you know, this is concerning.
You know, I could understand how people, you know, are concerned about, you know, the international aspects of the education and, you know, purported ties to UNESCO. As I think was mentioned earlier in the program, we certainly are recognized by UNESCO, but we're not funded or managed or controlled in any way, shape, or form by UNESCO. And in terms of local control versus state control versus national control, it's an important issue, and it's an important issue to be debated. I mean, you could look at things like the Common Core curriculum that's been adopted by almost every state in the union. That's, you know, could be said to be ceding control to a larger entity and creating, you know, common rigorous standards across the nation. But New Hampshire and other, you know, states have embraced it. So just because something is international or has a broader perspective doesn't make it evil or bad. You know, and looking back just a few minutes ago, to look at students in, let's say, the primary years program, which is the younger students, being evaluated or just, you know, looked at in terms of their open-mindedness, is that not something we want to encourage in students?
You know, I want to go from this rather high-minded conversation, Drew, down to the down to the money. How much more expensive is IB for local districts, especially when you compare it to a similar program, AP or Advanced Placement?
It really depends district to district. You know, I won't, you know, sit here at my desk talking to you, tell you that IB or AP is inexpensive. It does require an additional level of training. Any academic program that has an element of professional development where teachers have to go through rigorous professional development, which I think is true of Advanced Placement and certainly true of IB, there are costs involved in bringing an external standard, whether it be the College Board's Advanced Placement program that is run out of New York and New Jersey, or the IB that's run out of our D.C. office here with links, obviously, to our headquarters in Geneva. There are costs that are additional. Now, apples to apples, you know, a school can support an IB program with a full-time IB coordinator or a half-time IB program coordinator.
So it kind of depends on the local
situation.
It really
depends on the program. And then one other thing I do want to address is I think Representative Cohen said that many IB programs, you know, drop the program because of expense. You know, that's just not true. You know, we have fewer than 5% of our schools leaving the fold, and only a small percentage of that is due to, you know, budget reasons.
And Drew, just hold on a minute if you could. Did you want to jump in, Terry, talking about cost?
Sure. We have a slide on our website. It's www.sau25.net. And if you go to curriculum, there's an IB and AP link, and there's a budget slide up there. But just to give more information on this, there is an IB annual fee to IB every year. We do pay postage to send our assessments around to the different people. And then there is teacher training. I think that's one of the biggest variables in cost from district to district and how you give professional development. So if you train your entire staff at once, it can be very expensive. We've rotated our staff through. We were also starting a high school, and we didn't have juniors and seniors, so we were able to do it in incremental steps. And then the other expense is the program coordinator, and it depends on how you do that. And ours is 60% of full-time.
Okay. So again, as Drew said, it's situational. And Drew Deutsch, real quick, if you could, what would you say to members of the New Hampshire Senate who may be listening right now, who are voting on this bill tomorrow, on whether to halt IB from New Hampshire schools or not? What would you say to them?
I would say, you know, look at the impact that it's having in its early stages at Bedford High School. Talk to students, talk to teachers, and, you know, do your best to listen to some of the detractors and sort of, you know, pick apart their argument and try to figure out what their motivation is. And then on the positive side, do the same thing for the students that you talk to who are proponents of the program. But again, I want to reemphasize, you know, we believe that this is a local issue. We'd certainly be disappointed if New Hampshire basically outlawed IB, which hasn't happened anywhere else in the world or in the United States. So, you know, I'm not sure that, you know, we'd be excited that New Hampshire would be on the leading edge of that issue. But I think just looking at both sides of the debate and talking to people on the ground who have spent time in IB classrooms is really the best source of information.
All right, Drew. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you.
That's Drew Deutsch, Regional Director of IB Americas. And let's try to get a couple more listeners into our conversation right now, if we could. And David's waiting in Bedford. And David, go ahead. You're on The Exchange. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. I live in Bedford, and I do have, I guess, a different experience. It's been quite a learning process for me the last couple of years. And basically, I guess what I'm hearing even today and what I've heard the last several years from the administration and essentially pro-IB folks is contrary to everything I've experienced. And the gentleman there from IB itself, you know, saying, you know, spending time in an IB classroom. I have not, but I do have a son that is in an IB class in Bedford, and so I can have at least that much of a direct experience. And
what has he told you, David?
Well, there's this viewpoint that it's a rigorous program and that there's local control and there's no UN values influence and all of these things that are supported. But in fact, he's found it not to be rigorous. He literally does not study for the class. There's no need to study for the class. And whereas, other classes, he certainly studies quite a bit.
So he has not found it as rigorous as advertised.
Absolutely not. Now, maybe he got lucky and got an easy IB class.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I don't doubt that there's plenty of volume of work to do. The question is, what is the value that it's of the work?
Okay. David, thanks for calling in. And Terry, real quick to you, obviously you can't address any specific classroom issue or specific student, but I wonder, David's question makes me wonder, would have been easier for Bedford to have just adopted AP? It's not controversial. It's, pretty well liked and respected instead of going through all this political back and forth over IB.
Mm-hmm. Well, We could, and we do have AP. We could have it. I think that we thought, again, all the points that, I mentioned before, the professional development was very attractive to us. We were starting a new school. We had a lot of brand new teachers. We found that, when we did a lot of the research, and I think maybe the tipping point was we had school board members and administrators go visit IB schools and talk to IB
in
students.
Mm-hmm.
And specifically Texas, somebody who was visiting. It wasn't done on taxpayer dollars. And also down to Comac High School. And it was when they actually talked to students, they could understand the depth of knowledge. And there's a lot of debate between IB and AP on what they value. So we thought it was important to be able to offer both. And we offer 5 advanced placement classes, but many of our students take advanced placements tests. In fact, last year we were recognized by the College Board in their AP District Honor Roll as one of like 300 high schools for the level of tests that we offer.
And real quick to you, Anne-Marie, what do you think? Would you feel better if all New Hampshire schools did it the way that Bedford's doing it, where you don't have to do IB, you can do AP, you can do regular curriculum? Would that feel better to you, or do you think IB should just be something, International Baccalaureate, we just shouldn't have that at all?
Well, I think that there's a little more option at the high school level with Bedford, but if you look at, only 5 AP classes being offered, you're kind of geared towards IB. You kind of, and if you want to take French 4, for instance, you have to take IB. I think one of the problems I have found, because in addition to being the education liaison at Cornerstone, I live in Bedford. And one of the problems is, for instance, we had the IB coordinator come to the school board and present all of the findings on IB one time. And I happened to be watching because it's live coverage. And then after he was done, we had one of the residents get up and actually present to the school board some of the findings that he didn't offer. For instance, she presented that the Bedford diploma candidates as a group performed below the national average at that time. This was about a year or two ago. And, my concern is that, when we have a resident doing the homework and finding out, a little more of the aspects of what's actually going on with this diploma program, rather than coming from the individuals themselves, that concerns me also as a resident. Are we getting the full picture? I know that Bedford vetted this program, and I looked at their findings, and I didn't see anything in there where they went through, okay, this program is controversial, and here's why, and we really need to think about this, and we need to ask ourselves, this causes division in the community, that schools rely on funding, and that's part of the crisis of competence. This is what they're saying, that, they rely on public funding, and what you have is you have division among your community members, and is this good for the district?
Let's take one more if we could, and this is Wade in Guilford. Hi, Wade. Go ahead. You're on the exchange.
Hi. Thank you. I was actually an IB student in high school. I took 4 IB courses. I was not a full diploma student, but I found it to be a very rigorous curriculum that actually prepared me very well. I ended up getting quite a bit of credit through AP and IB tests for college and took very few academic courses in college. I was a music performance major. and then went from that on to law school. And I found that the IB curriculum was academically rigorous enough that I was very well prepared to go to law school at New York University, which is a very highly regarded school.
So it really helped you, Wade. And just real quickly, did you find that there was a political agenda in any of the classes that you took, an anti-American agenda?
I absolutely did not find any of that. I did take the IB history, which was a history of the Americas, which met all the requirements of U.S. history in the state of Ohio is where I took it. So we got certainly the U.S. perspective, but also incorporate that into a larger perspective and got to view some of the actions, say, that the U.S. had done throughout the hemisphere from the Monroe Doctrine on through the 20th century.
Okay, and Wade, in the interest of time, I'm going to let you go. We're wrapping up the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks.
Well, very quickly to you, Terry, what do you think the Senate's going to do, the state Senate? The committee wasn't wild about the anti-IB bill. What do you think the full Senate will do?
I hope the Senate supports local control. Votes no.
What do you think, Anne-Marie? Didn't look good in this committee, but the House liked it.
Well, I think it's opened up the eyes of a lot of people in the state, and for that, I'm appreciative. I think that, you know, I'd like to get a lot more questions answered, and I'm hoping that, you know, with this bill that we'll look into it a little bit deeper.
All right. Well, I really appreciate both of you coming in today. Emery, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Emery Banfield, Education Liaison for Cornerstone Action. She's a resident of Bedford. Terry Wolf, good to have you, too. Thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Terry Wolf, Vice Chairman of the Bedford School Board, which, as we heard, has had the International Baccalaureate for about 3 to 4 years at the high school. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. Our engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. We have help this week from Todd Bookman. Our intern is Ryan Lassard. The Exchange theme music was composed by Bob Lord. Our executive producer is Keith Shields, and I'm Laura Kanoy.